do the welcome, but I am this morning. This is our third service for the year, celebrating 50 years in ministry. And I want to dedicate this service to Bobby O'Neill and his family. For those who may not know, Bobby passed away actually Friday night. And let me give you a little history so that you know why church is important. How many believe that the church is the greatest institution on the face of the earth? Absolutely is. It's the hope of the world. And I know Jesus is the hope of the world, but you are Jesus. We are the body of Christ, and therefore we're the hope of the world. Well, Bobby O'Neill is a very good friend. We grew up together, and he was the first person I ever led to Christ. And so that just gives you a little bit idea. Because of that, Bobby won his daddy to the Lord. And he won his mother to the Lord. And all of his children sit right over here every Sunday morning. And they're all serving the Lord. And what would it be today for this family if it wasn't for Christ? If it wasn't for the hope of the world, that because he gave his heart to Christ almost 40 years ago, he is reunited with his mother in heaven, his father in heaven. And you see, what happens on Sunday mornings when you really study out the scriptures, this. See, I know you look around, you think we're the only ones here. But that's not true. There's a cloud of witnesses that's with us. And there's a church in heaven, and there's a church in earth. They meet together every time we meet together. And so there's some celebration going on today. If you'll listen real close this morning and you hear a voice that's really off key, that's my daddy. And now you'll listen, it'll really be off key, believe me, big time off key, but he'll be joining us singing and worshiping today. So I want you to stand up, and I want you to worship God today and just open up your hearts and your spirit to let him do for you, in you and through you, what he needs to do. And I want you to help us celebrate this 50 years of seeing God's wonderful grace extended to so many people. Because of that, there are thousands of people today worshiping the Lord because somebody decided 50 years ago, let's start a church. Amen. God bless.
Lord, I come and I confess, we'll bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart. 'Cause you're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, is found is where you are, where you are. Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Sing it, church. temptation comes my way. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
God all the time. All we have to do is call out for him, and he's there anytime, through the good times, the bad times. We're going to sing a song now that says, you won't relent until you have it all. So as much as we need him, he won't relent until he has all of our heart. So let's worship him this morning and praise him for being such an awesome, awesome God.
There is a love. You are relentless. I was up this morning at 4 a.m. just couldn't sleep, and instead of tossing and turning, I just began to seek Him. And sometimes I forget to seek Him, and even what it feels like to seek Him. You know, you go day to day, and I know He's with me, and I know He's in me, and it's easy to take for granted the fact that I have full access to Him. And so I read this scripture, and so I'll just reread it. It's in Psalm 63. It says, "You, God, are my God. And earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary, and I've beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify your name, and I will lift up my hands. And I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. And I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you, and your right hand, it upholds me." So maybe you were kind of like me, or you've been in a place where I kind of felt this morning, and you just forget what it feels like to seek Him, to sit at His feet, and to rest in His goodness, and to rest in His presence, and to rest in His love. And so as we sing this song, the more I seek you, the more I find you, and the more I find you, the more I love you. And so we're going to sit at His feet this morning, and we're going to worship Him.
The more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand. Feel your heartbeat. This love. grace and mercy follows me, Lord. Oh, we say you are good, Lord. Oh, you are good, Lord. And your goodness and mercy follows me, Lord. It follows me. When I wake up, I say you are good, Lord. Oh, you are good, Lord. All throughout the day, Lord, you are so good, Lord. And when I lay my head down at night, I say you're good, Lord. I say you are good, Lord. I say you are good, Lord. Help me worship you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus, we worship you. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that there is no price we have to pay, that you have paid the price, and you have paid it all. And we can enter into your throne room and say, praise to you, Lord, who paid our debt.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. A crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. We'll be right back. sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Father, for your anointing and for your spirit.
Amen. Well, Dwayne, if you can't preach after that, you just can't preach. That's just all I've got to say. No pressure. May be seated. We're going to ask our ushers to come to worship the Lord with our giving. And this will be our tithes and offerings. We'll be receiving another offering at the end of the service. But I just want to tell you, I feel today that I'm one of the most blessed people on the face of the earth. And the reason I say that is because of the people that God has put in my life over the years. And Dwayne Swillers put in my life about 20 years ago. And we actually had a revival about 17, 18 years ago that lasted 2 weeks. We met every morning at 10 and every night at 7. I know that's strange for some of you that it's hard to get here once a week on Sunday morning. But we had a two-week revival that lasted, and a lot of great things transpired and happened. But we kind of disconnected for a period of time, and about 2 years ago, I make all my phone calls in the parking lot. If you ever come by here and you see me walking in the parking lot with the phone, that's where I make all my calls, because my phone always drops, it goes dead in my office, so I go outside. And one day I walked outside, I just felt to call somebody, and I didn't even know who I was going to call. I really didn't. I just walked outside with my phone in my hand, and to go call someone. You can go ahead and receive the offering. God bless you as you do that. And I walked outside, and I pulled up out my phone, and I just started going through names, and I saw Dwayne Swilly's name. I said, I'm going to call Dwayne. And so reconnected with him about 2 years ago. And first of this year, I asked him to come and be with us on our third celebration. And I'm glad he's here. So, Pastor Dwayne, when you come, God bless you, and do what you do.
Thank you, Gary. Amen. Well, it is good to be home. And y'all know that Sonny and I, the kids, lived in Griffin for a year and a half, right down the road from Terry and Wanda. And, God, it was one of the great times in my life. I'd like to go on record as a disclaimer right now that I saw that I have 40 minutes to speak. This visiting doesn't count. The visiting, loving y'all, that's not part of my 40 minutes. Okay. All right. I would be remiss. This is my 40th year of marriage with that beautiful lady right there. I just like to tell you that all of our kids are married. They've left the house. We're in a great place right now. I promise you, we can run around and chase after each other all the time. This is great because used to, you know, when your kids are there, they're all, God, don't do that. And so we do all of that now. And so oh, goodness. I would be remiss if I did not tell you there are different seasons in your life. And if you forget the people that helped you get through those seasons and befriended you and stood with you, then I believe you're not really somebody that's to be respected. I don't respect you. Buren and Barbara Goss stood with us. And this church stood with us more than in just the word. In your friendship, and your support. I got off the plane one time in Buffalo, New York. This is still not part of my 40 minutes. And there was a church of 4,000 or 5,000 there. And the pastor had had a serious automobile accident. And I'd gone in to minister for him there. And when I got off the plane, he said, Dwayne, the Lord spoke to me that you should move to Buffalo, New York and take this church. And I said, God, Southern boy, Buffalo, New York, good God of mine, that's the coldest place. Anyway, I've always been the kind of person that said yes when God asked. And so I got on after we had the services there. Within a couple of months, we had bought a home in Buffalo, and I went up there to take that incredible church, and we were going to have a year transition. During the time of the transition, the senior pastor had a miraculous recovery. And he said, I don't want to retire. And I said, I don't want to live in Buffalo. And so, but I had sold my home in Atlanta, lived in Buffalo. And God says, you don't have to do nothing. You don't have to do nothing. I'll do everything. I got you up here. I'll get you out of here. And I said, all right. And he said, I'll do it within 30 days. And 5 days into it, without them knowing each other, Buren Goss called me and said, Dwayne was up with you in Buffalo. We had a great conference. But if you ever wanted to move, I'll help you move. You can come live in Griffin. Terry Shaw did not know that Buren had called. He called up and he said, I don't know if you'd ever want to move to Griffin. Two called me in one day, and I said, Lord, let me pray if I should move back down to the south. Yes, amen. And that was that. And I moved down here, and wow, we were loved. And when I would travel and speak, Sonny would attend here with the kids, and you love my family. For that, I will always be grateful to Eagles Way. You're a great church, and I'm glad to be here and celebrate with you on this 50th anniversary. Amen? Well, I always play my horn before I speak, but I realized that I was on a limited time here, so I went ahead and played with the worship team. So if I decide to play again, I'll do it. I would just, right before I bring the word, tell you that I'm very honored to have not just guests, but family with me. Years ago, over 10 years ago, this young man became one of the greatest friends that a man could ever have. He became my administrator. Why would you not want a Jewish man to be your administrator? Bam! How about that? His dad's a rabbi, and he became my administrator. He still is. If you don't know, my church that I pastor for 20 years in Miami, a place called Hope. I have now, I also have my Amen Corner. If y'all don't know, Roz is here. She only lives 10 minutes from here. Greatest Amener ever. I could have her, I can preach, it doesn't matter. I could be out there in the yard if I had Roz, I'm good. And so they became part of my life. I have Danny here. Danny has now become the business partner and the CEO of Tree of Life Bible, which I gave Pastor Buren one. It is now, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Bible that's ever been written. It's written by 32 Jewish theologians who all believe in Jesus. And if you don't understand that it was Jews who wrote the Bible, and if you don't understand their perspective of things, which is completely different. Anyway, the lady who put it together, who raised the millions of dollars, it's been downloaded in over 220 nations now, all over the world. I have Danya Greenberg. Her husband is a Messianic rabbi. And so, Danya and Danny, it's great to have you with us today. And Ross, great to have you. All right, now you can start the clock. So I asked Pastor Buren, I said, Pastor Buren, what is it that you would like me to speak on? This is a very, very monumental Sunday. And I always have integrity. I just spent speaking in major cities across Venezuela, conferences there with thousands. And 2 weeks before that, major conferences in Colombia. And I want to say I feel more of a responsibility to deliver an accurate word this morning than I did in any of those conferences. You're my family, you're my friends, and if I wanted to do good and use my gift, it would be for you in this house this morning. And so he said, I would like you to speak somewhat on the church and restoration. The church and restoration. I said, okay. So I started praying about that, and I prayed about it. And this past week I was praying about it. This morning I was praying about it. And this is what I want to speak on this morning. Beyond restoration is reinvention. Beyond restoration is reinvention. I was at my pulpit about a year ago, and a great prophet and his wife from London, England, came to our church, Joe and Paul Naughton, and they have a phenomenal cross-cultural church in London. And he prophesied, he said, you'll be the father of reinvention. That's what he said to me. He said, wherever you go, you'll be the father of reinvention. And so, before I go to the word, let me explain to you what I'm talking about principally. Restoration. I saw Terry drive up in his Corvette yesterday. I hate him. In a good way. Thank you, Sonny. In a good way, I hate him. And he drove up, and I've always thought, man, it would be great to get a classic old Corvette and restore it and drive it. The problem is James White tried to sell me his. I can't fit in it. It only comes up to here. There's no way I can get my body in it. But when you restore something, restore by definition means that you restore it to its original condition. So a 67 Corvette restored to its original condition is still a 67. It does not have any of the technology that's available today. It's still a 67. The wheel doesn't tilt up and down. There is no GPS in it. There is no many, many things in it, because it would only be restored when, if you watch Pimp My Ride,
they don't just restore something, they reinvent it. Things that are available today, they now put in something so it's not just restored, it's reinvented. And what we have to know is that God is beyond just restoring you to where you have been someplace in your life. The great story in Luke 15 is, wow, the prodigal son was restored. I will arise and I will go to my father's house and everything will be great. But had he not be reinvented, he's liable will to do the same thing again. Yes or no? He's liable to do the same thing because he didn't change the way he was thinking. Let's go to Gideon. Here is Gideon, who is a coward. Yes? He hides, he's afraid, God comes to him and calls him mighty man of valor. He calls him, you're a great man, you're an awesome man. And he restores Gideon, but he doesn't reinvent Gideon. He doesn't take the next step, because after he leads the most phenomenal victory of 300 against, maybe some theologians believe, 1 million people in an army, they say, we want you to be the king. You and your sons rule us. And instead of taking his position, he says, no, let the ephod just have a situation. And 69 out of his 70 kids are brutally murdered because he goes back to being a coward because he wasn't reinvented. Are we good? We realize that Jacob, Jacob, here he is, he's a trickster, he wants the right thing, but he'll do anything to get it. And he undermines relationships, he deceives his father, he schemes with his mother, he takes his brother's birthright, he leaves and he comes back. And while he is there wrestling with the angel, wrestling with the Spirit of God, God reinvents him. He changes his name, his whole impulse, his whole way of thinking. Everything changes because he wasn't just restored to being a son. He's reinvented as Israel. And because of that, they say now everybody will be called an Israelite. I want you to be like that. What is that? That is reinvented. Peter, we see a man that 3 years, it makes me feel good about some of the people I've discipled. After 3.5 years, he's still cursing, swearing, fighting, cutting. Quitting. And Jesus says, tell all of them to come, and Peter. And when Peter shows up, he's not just restored, he's reinvented. He's changed. The Word of God says he takes us from glory to glory. From reinvention to reinvention. Growing up. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Genesis 2. Growing up. I grew up on stage with a bass guitar and a trumpet. And I'll never forget, what was my buddy's name that gave me my bass guitar from here that passed away? Tony. I love him. That was, I every time... I'm like the fifth string bass player at our church. I am. I so want to play. I really do, Kitty. I really want to play. And so I'll see somebody sick and I'll go, yes. And then bass player. And then his replacement will be like out of town. I'll be going, yes, yes. And so the perfect storm has to happen. And then it's like I get to play bass. And then they go, no. We have an extra keyboard. We're doing keyboard bass. And so I don't even get a shot. But in as I grew up on the, and I was an evangelist. Can I give you this to write down? In your reinvention, God never violates the original edition. Everything that you were at the beginning, He uses that too. It doesn't mean you're limited to that, but you can use that. I'm always an evangelist, and I'll still play my horn. And if I have to, I'll get my own band where I speak somewhere where I can play the bass guitar. I'll just get my own band. All right. And so I realized that, but then He reinvented me. He took me, and I went to Chapel Hill here in Atlanta. I became a youth pastor. Incredible things happened. Thousands of kids came. Then He reinvented me as an associate pastor. Then He reinvented me as a senior pastor. Can I tell you something, church? As you're being reinvented as a church and as individuals, you'll never be reinvented if you're trying to be something else instead of celebrating what you are. You'll never. I never was looking to be anything but a youth pastor. What do you want to be one day? A youth pastor. I mean, when you get older, a youth pastor. If you're wanting to be somebody else, you'll never be good where you are. Okay. And so I ended up being a senior pastor, which is not the ultimate. It is a position. If you're called to be it, that's great. If you're not called to be it, it's really great. And so 2 Christmases ago, I had a stroke for Christmas. And not something that was on my wish list, but I had a stroke for Christmas. God changed a lot of things in my life. He had me identify how to deal with stress. And I can tell you right now, if you want to know why I look so young at 61, and I look so fit, and Sonny and I are training for an Ironman, it's because I reinvented myself. I don't stress about anything. I would have told you I used to, but now I know for sure. You cannot be reinvented, and you can't become what God wants you to be if you're stressed out. Stress is actually a sin because you're not really trusting God. You're thinking that your extreme worry is going to cause things to get better. I can only help you with that. Stress doesn't work, Chris. It doesn't work. And so I had a choice, be the guy in the wheelchair drooling on himself in the corner, or I could be the guy at the 61 training for an Ironman and be a good husband to my wife, a good father to my children, and be able to come to Griffin and love you and speak to you and feel great. And I'm going to tell you something. I reinvented myself. I didn't know nothing about Spanish other than my son married a Spanish girl. I didn't know anything about that. All I know now is the only thing, my two of my grandchildren at home, Joshua and Corinne, only speak Spanish to their kids. And when they go to the other grandparents, they only speak Spanish to them. And their babysitter is Spanish. So they come to our house, I go, ¿comprende? Granddad. Okay. And so I went down and I spoke at Guillermo Maldonado's church, the largest Latin church in America, and all of a sudden, 70% of my Facebook friends are Spanish. Most all the big conferences I do in the world are Spanish. God is moving phenomenally in Spanish, in Latin countries. I can't tell you. They have churches of 50 and 100,000 people, and they're so hungry. Dusty, you talk about hungry for God. Oh my goodness. I didn't know that I was going to go there, but I had to allow God to reinvent me. Key word, allow. I had to allow God. I feel the presence of God right now. Now, this is what I was waiting to feel right here. Are you bearing witness to what I'm saying this morning? Are you really listening to me?
Because your real blessing is in the reinvention. Okay? All right. So here we go. I want you to write this down. This is very powerful. God gives chances. We make choices. God gives chances. We make choices. Today, God sovereignly wanted me to tell you that. God gives chances. We make choices. All right. Okay. Here we go. Dusty, you and Chris, come here. Come here. Let's see. Let me have Missy and Jason, would you come here just for a second? Let's see. Come up here. Up here. Now, I want to show you something. I want to show you something because in Matthew 13:13, it says, from that time on, Jesus didn't do anything but in parables. In parables. He's speaking parables. So in Genesis, the second chapter, in verse 9, it says that he made... Yeah, you can bring that on up, Danny. That's good. That's good. Are you the young man that did the ice bucket video with Dusty? It was him? Yeah, Adam, I need you to come. Please, please. I really need you to come badly. Come, come, come. All right. And so, it says, there was, stand right here, Missy. You stand right here. Chris, you stand right here. And it says that in the garden, there were a lots of trees, and they were all good for food. A banana tree. I have banana trees in my backyard that I planted. They're awesome. And it says they were great. They were great for food. And he says to Adam and Eve, do I have any couple here that really loves each other? That really, really love, y'all love each other? Come. Now. As I would say, and if I was in a Latin country, rapido. Okay. What is your name?
Christy.
Yep. And Larry. Come on, Christy and Larry. Everybody, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve. They're awesome. Adam and Eve. And so God is here on the throne. Come here, Buren. Come here, you good looking thing. I'm going to let you play God. What else? Okay. So God is here. God is on the throne. That's a grape. And so I love you, Eve, but you're not really yet here. Okay. And so he says to Adam, let me show you. And I'll put you right here. You are the tree. You're the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay. Dusty, the tree of life. The tree of life. This is you. Just have some grapes hanging. Okay. God says to Adam, look, I put 2-9, all of these trees. You can have any tree. Remember this, God gives chances, we make choices. And he says, you can have Adam. You can eat of this tree. You can eat of this tree. You can eat. Of this tree. I know that it's a tomato vine. I know. I've lived in Griffin. All right. You can eat of this tree. But in the center of your garden, the center of everything that God puts in your life is the tree of life. If you celebrate what God has, the choices God has, you will continually be reinvented over and over. Dusty, work with me. Take the grapes out. Grapes are not on a bag. Work with me, please. Okay.
And so, let's see. Chris, the wind is blowing through the tree. That's good. That's good. Missy, have a good attitude. All right. Okay. And so you see this, and so you see, you can put the bag down. You can put the bag down. Yeah. Tree of life. And so he says this. He says to Adam, now, you can have any of these in the center. In the center of your life has to be the will of God. In the center of your life has to be, there is really only one choice for you to make. And that brings life. That brings life, eating of that tree. But God gives you a variety of things to take part of. God gives chances. We make choices. But then God says, look at this tree. Look at this tree. Do not eat of that tree. For the day you eat of that tree, you will surely die, because this is you making choices outside of God. You can never be reinvented. How many people, Pastor, have we tried to help and tried to love that made those choices and they died? They lost their garden. They lost their destiny. They lost their legacy. They lost the ability to be reinvented. So he says, do not eat of this tree. Do not, that's okay. Do not eat of this tree. Do not eat of this tree. If anything I do makes you upset, because you look like, woo, you could like, you could like take me out. If he gets mad, let me know. Okay, all right. Okay. Yeah, that's good. Do not eat of that tree. Do not eat of that tree. He sets the rules down. He sets the rules down. And then he says, I want you to go to sleep. Go to sleep. That's the way you sleep? Is that the way he sleeps? No, he was asleep. He was asleep. And as he was asleep, he's sleeping. God comes over and he says, listen to me. When you're in your garden, when you're at the tree of life, God will invent whatever you need to bring into your life. Adam did not ask for a wife. God invented him a wife. So he takes out of his side and he creates Eve. He creates Eve. Good. Then he wakes Adam up. Adam, look what I've done for you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. That's all. A woman! A woman! This is awesome! God made this for me. Now let me give you the responsibility. When you make the right choice, you have a responsibility to tell other people about the choice you've made, because it is never written in the Word that God ever told Eve, don't eat of that tree. See, I know, women, you better be with me right now, because y'all have got beat up for years over this story. Y'all have got torched. If it wasn't for the woman, you know we'd be that. That woman is the one. Okay. And so she goes over because it looked good, and listen to me. I don't know why everybody so puts this incredible emphasis on being street smart. If it's street smart versus word smart, you're stupid. See, I need to return to the innocence of the garden where I can just trust him. When I trust him with all my heart and lean not to my own understanding. What you're going to see is he's going to reinvent me, and I'm finding myself in places ministering in Fiji to over 100 nations, doing things that are shaking the world because I was willing to be reinvented. And it doesn't come from street smart. It comes from God smart, which is word smart. And so, not in the center of the garden, knowledge of good and evil. Come over here. We don't know, no. Yeah, you, Jason. We don't know what he was doing. Adam was probably having a banana somewhere. And so Eve comes over and the devil. The devil. Because the devil is always about you making bad choices. What is it that's limited your life? What is it that caused you to have to start over again? What is it that caused you health issues? Bad choices. Nothing's changed. Buren, what about this? It's not in the Bible, but I guarantee you would agree with me. I believe that the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil was in heaven in the beginning. Or how would the devil had the ability to make a choice? That tree, to make a bad choice, Lucifer says, no, I'll eat of that tree. And that one choice caused not only him, but a third of the angels to fall. Bad choice. One great choice changes everything for you. And so we realize that the devil puts his arm around Eve. And he says, look, did God really say? Now, can I tell you this? When you hear the man of God speak, when you hear the people of God speak, when you pray and study and hear God speak, make sure that you know that you know that you know God has spoke to you. And when the enemy tries to come, Mike, come here. Come up here. Joel Kasoria, Joel's here. Joel, come here. Come sit up here. This is my friend. My world, come up here and sit up here with my family, Joel. Just walk right down the aisle right here. You big mafia looking powerful. This is my brother right here. One of the great ministers and pastors. And we are going to co-author a book called The Fathers of Reinvention. Amen. The Fathers of Reinvention. This is the man that helped build Benny Hinn's ministry, Creflo Dollar's ministry. And we're going to go in, not just to ministries, but to business, wherever. He has a huge marketing firm. And what we're going to do is help people reinvent themselves. Are y'all with me? You realize that money is still here when the economy changes? Y'all do know it's still here. It's just somebody different's got it. Money hasn't disappeared. Wealth hasn't disappeared. It's just different people are getting it. Oh, when I'm in Venezuela, we were in Venezuela in El Tigre, and Sonny prophesied to a guy. Now listen to me, businessmen, businesswomen, prophesied to a guy. He had a huge farm, and they were still, and he had several hundred head of cattle. They were stealing cattle every day. He had lost a third of his herd just from stealing. And some of his people who worked the farm had turned on him, and they had attempted murder to steal all of his money. And in Venezuela, it's not about if you have the money to get certain things. It's just not in the country to have. There's no fertilizer to have. Water down there is at a premium. Some cities right now are without water. And Sonny prophesied the word of the Lord, the tree of life. She said to him, this next season,
all of your harvest, all of your wealth will return to you. Now, there was no fertilizer in the country. I prophesied to the church, they seed about 2,000, but they had a little tiny piece of the roof done, and this huge roof, the people were out in the rain. They couldn't, I said, and God will put a roof on this house, mega church. And they said, well, even if we had the money, the roofing material is not in the country, and there's 300 people on the list that are contractors before us to get the material when it does come. Are y'all listening? And so I prophesied to them. They took up an offering. Now, you have to realize 72 of their dollars make one of ours. So there was a mound of money, and I think it came up to a few hundred dollars. But this man, this farmer, heard the word of the Lord. And on the way to the airport, he wrote a check for the rest of the money it would take to do the roof. But still, there's no material. So we're sitting in the airport to fly out of El Tigre. And when we start to fly out, somebody from the port calls, God, when you eat of this tree, he'll open doors where there are no doors. And so they called from the port and they said, "There's the material to do your roof is on a ship." And the guy that was there had heard me preach the night before and said, "I just moved your name from 300th to first. Come get it." The roof is finished. When we were in San Felipe doing this big conference, what is his name again? Diego called and he said, "My crops, I got the fertilizer miraculously. My crops have doubled and the profit tripled." He said, "I've never been this successful in my life." God gives chances. We make choices. So she comes over. And he says, did God really say? He didn't say. He just doesn't want you to be smart as him. Can I tell you, the greatest thing you can do in God is be obedient. Is be obedient. Do you realize that what Satan always wants to do is he wants to get great principles and attach negative connotations to them. Like the word submission. Well, you're weak if you're submitted. If you're a real man, you don't submit to nobody. Let me tell you what you are if you don't submit to anybody. You're an idiot. When I have a legal issue, I go to an attorney. I'm not an idiot. He's smarter than me. I submit. When I lived here in Griffin and I had something with my body, I would go to Doc and I would say, "Tell me what's the right thing to do." I've prayed. I submitted. When I would have some big decisions to make, I would go to Buren. And I would say, "Buren, I trust. Let me submit these things to you." Submission is brilliant. Submitting to the wrong people is crazy. Okay. So she goes over, and the devil talks to her. The devil tells her. The devil... And she says, "Okay, I'll eat it." Now listen to me. When you've made a bad choice, make sure you've got people around you that will not agree with you, but correct you. You don't need yes people around you. You need honest people around you that will tell you the truth when you need to hear the truth. So she comes up to Adam and she goes, "Look what I have. Adam, look what I have." And instead of Adam being a man, he goes, "Okay, I'll eat it."
What should he have done? I heard God speak. I heard God speak. God said not to do this. And let me cover you. Let me take that apple and fling that thing back at the enemy. I was just joking. I was just seeing if you're willing. That was kind of the Abraham Isaac thing. I was just seeing if you're willing. Nope. Nope. But instead he ate it. Now hear me. Hear me. When you compound with bad choices, you lose your position. When you compound life, what a sad thing. They had to leave the garden because at another time, I'll come back. I would love to tell you that before you were ever born, God created your territory. Your territory was made before you were ever born. The garden was made before you were ever born. The promised land was made before there was ever Abraham going, Joshua, Moses coming up and Joshua going over. Your territory before you were born. I said before you were born, God already made your territory, your business. He already laid it out. He already laid out. The reason I had to move to Miami is my three kids' mates were in Miami. The reason I had to move to Miami is I was at a different church every Sunday of my life for 25 years and was with every culture and every nation of the world is in Miami. God knew I would end up in Miami, so he drugged me all over America to meet every kind of person that there possibly is. So when I walked in there, I was ready before I ever got there. Now, if God loves me more than he loves you, then I've got a problem with the credibility and the character of God. Everywhere you've ever been is setting you up for the reinvention today. I said, wherever you've been, even the stuff that looked bad, he doesn't waste, there's no wasted time. And for some of you that think you've missed your window, Satan's a liar. I'm here to tell you one reinvention changes everything. I drove today by, I was talking with some people from Detroit, and I drove by where one of my uncles used to run the GM plant there in Dorville, and it shut down. It's closed. There was a time, if you lived in Auburn Hills, the neighborhood just north of Detroit, it was the highest standard of living, the highest average income in the world. There. What happened? General Motors and the American car manufacturers quit reinventing themselves. And people that lived in other countries that had to pay huge duties to even get the cars in the country began to outsell them all. They ceased to be reinvented. Pastor Buren, how many churches do we know? And this grieves my heart, that are not even in existence today because they ceased to be reinvented. What I looked at when I walked in Eagles Way today was, wow, this place has been reinvented. Right, Joy? I said, this place has been reinvented. But you go from one reinvention to the next reinvention. So now when they eat, they have to leave the garden. They have to leave the garden. They lose their position. As a matter of fact, making the wrong choice and believing in that tree over that tree, they put an angel with a flaming sword at the door of the garden and said, I can't let you back in. And now you live under a curse. The very land, the very business, that everything you do now is going to come hard because you didn't celebrate the tree of life. You celebrated your own decisions. Good work. This is classic Donya. Watch this. Come here, Adam. If you're here and you put yourself on this side of the tree,
The only thing you see, Adam, is God's choices for you. If you put yourself here,
yes, sir.
A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways because he thinks, am I going to do this or am I going to do that? Then if you get depressed, you get down, then you begin to see life from this position where the only choice you have is a bad choice. Which side of which tree are you on? Yes? Because from there, he can't make a good decision for you. That's your son back there. Can't make a good decision for your son. Can't make a good decision about that because the only decisions you see are all wrong decisions. If you go around in between the trees, you're caught in a quandary. What am I going to do? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? But let me tell you the right place to be. Adam, get on the other side of the tree of life. Where you want to stand is in the shadow of the Almighty, where there is only one option for me. And that's the will of God. That's to do what he wants me to do. And the next thing I do, I know, is I don't have to try to be recreated and reinvented. It's just natural. I started following God. All of a sudden, not only Joel comes back into my life. I've known Joel since we were both. He was a teenager and I was almost a teenager. And we've grown up, and then all of a sudden God puts us right back together. When you're with people, listen to me, when you're with people who are open to be reinvented, your reinvention gets the power of agreement. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. So when you're in agreement, you're not twice as strong, you're 10 times as strong. You can leave the stage. All of you can leave the stage. Except you, Jason. Now watch this. Joshua in Joshua 24. Sit down right here. It's Buren's fruit. Y'all can have it. Joshua 24. How many of you believe if you know you're about to die, you're going to save the most important things you've ever come to say last? I know I'm about to die, and so I got to say something that's incredibly important. I must say something that's incredibly important. So Joshua is about to die. He's very weak. He's about to die. He's very weak. And now he realizes his whole life is before him. What am I going to say? What am I going to say? And he says, if you want to serve this God, serve that God.
Yeah.
If you want to serve this other God, serve that God. But this is his last words. But as for me and my house, he made the choice a long time ago. He just wanted to retell everybody that would listen, our house, we're serving the Lord. Our house, he made the choice. Quit letting the enemy in your house. The significance is, raise up a child in the way they should go. Raise them up.
Yes,
know that you know that you know. Does it mean that your kids won't go through some stuff? That's just going to happen. That's life. And if you live this, if somebody preaches you, I know he does it, some rosy-colored gospel that nothing bad happens ever to people that are of the Lord and whatever, you're crazy. Let me tell you a story about Oral Roberts. The man who has healed more people than anybody else in the history of this planet. On this shoulder, he had 2 rotator cuff surgeries just from reaching out his arm to pray for people. On this arm, 3 rotator cuff surgeries just from lifting his arm. He couldn't sleep more than 2 hours at a time. He would live
This is back in the day with the cassette players over, and he'd wake up and he'd listen. He had a child commit suicide, and he had another child die in a car and a plane accident. Yes, sir. Was he a great man? One of the greatest men I ever met in my life. What's the difference in us and the world? All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. It might be bad, but God, in fact, turns it for my good. And he reinvents me because the stuff I've gone through has qualified me to talk. It's given me a platform by where you got to listen to me. Don't tell me about a stroke. I've been there. Don't tell me about going through dark times. I've been there. Don't tell me about whatever the enemy, physical, emotional, mental. God lets you come to the end of yourself so you know you need to reinvent yourself. Yes? So, we look. There is Jacob. He's looking for a wife. He needs a wife. Jacob's looking for a wife. Was it Jacob I'm talking about, Sonny? Yeah. And he comes to a place where Laban's got some sheep and goats, and he sees Rachel. He says, that's the right choice. There it is. There it is. That, my friend, is the right choice. And Laban was a shyster. Laban was a trickster. Laban says, okay.
I got two daughters.
Let me preach it.
I just love what you say.
I know you're with me.
I'm with you.
I know you're with me, but this story could go real bad for you.
It does.
And so he says, do you really want to make the right choice? And he looks over there at Rachel and he says, I'll do anything. You'll never be reinvented unless you're all in. Yeah. You can't halfway be reinvented. You can't test being reinvented. You got to be all in. That's why, Dr. Hitson, why do people come to see you if they're going to self-diagnose? I appreciate that you've gone to medical school. And how many years have you been practicing, Dr. Hitson? 30 years you've been practicing medicine, but thanks a lot for your opinion. I think I'll do what I want to do. That's how foolish it is to go before God and self-diagnose yourself. And so he says, 7 years. Are you willing to work 7 years for her? You would? 7 years. So he works 7 years, and he's excited. It's the honeymoon night. He's looking good. He's got his best white shirt on. He's got his hair right. He's bathed up. He's got his smell good stuff on. He goes, I've worked 7 years. I'm going to the promised land tonight. Hallelujah. 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 And as he goes in to the honeymoon tent, it's dark. There's only one candle on. The music's playing. But it's not Rachel in the tent. It's her ugly sister.
Let me see. Ugly sister. Let me see. Ugly sister. Ugly sister. And he comes into the tent. It's dark. He can't see. He can't see. And he goes, I've been waiting for you. And she says, I've been waiting for you. I've worked so hard for you. And he goes, she goes, thank you. Thank you for everything. But he realized that the voice was a little different. It wasn't the right voice. And then he discovered it wasn't Rachel. It was Leah. Now, old Laban, he's a businessman. Another 7 years. He's got no problem. Because whatever the price is to be reinvented, Eagle's Way, whatever the price is, it's worth it all. Whatever the price is, it's worth it all. And so, you may go, ugly woman. You may be seated. Stay with me. Out of this relationship, finally, after 6 sons, Leah has like a factory. She's in, and having a male child was the ultimate. Has Joseph. Now, I want to understand you to understand. Don't lay down and don't think you can't be reinvented because of how you were born, where you were born, or where you come from. None of that matters. He didn't have any say-so over the fact he was born a favorite. And there are periods in your life that you'll be the favorite. Paul said, I know what it's like to be celebrated. I know what it's like. People want to kill me. And so he celebrated. He was invented. There are certain things that happen to you you can't change. He was invented as that. And then, not to Reuben, who deserves it, but to Joseph, he gives the coat of many colors, which was the coat of authority, which was the coat that you were the man. Now, he has 6 brothers that are older than him that's supposed to have this coat. But he has the coat. He can't change that. That's not his fault. Then his father puts him, invents him into the position of being the spy on his brothers. If they're doing what they're supposed to or not, he comes back. He couldn't help that. He was invented as that. He was asked to be that. Then God shows up and tells him dreams. 2 major dreams where his brothers and his mom and dad are going to serve him. He couldn't help that. He was invented as that. His brothers rise up against him. He couldn't help that. There are things that happen to us all we can't change. But it doesn't stop you being reinvented. It is part of the making. His brothers turn on him, betray him, sell him into slavery. Now he's invented a man that was going to be, I mean, his father was a very successful man. Now he's not only a slave, he's a minority and a father in a foreign country and doesn't speak the language and is sold as a slave. Still, he can't change that. Are y'all, you got me? Are you seeing yourself? I want you to see yourself in Joseph. Yes? Everybody's with me? I'm not far from finishing. And so he comes. He's sold to Potiphar, who's a hard man. He his tough character. And now he starts to reinvent himself. He says, I am not going to be the bottom. God called me to be the head and not the tail. And if I'm going to be the slave, I'm going to be running the business at this house. And he reinvents himself. Wherever you are, wherever you work, whatever you do, you reinvent yourself and let God raise you. That's why he says, do your work as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. All of a sudden, Joseph's running Potiphar's house. He's got slaves reporting to him. And in comes Potiphar's wife. You know the story. She lies on him. Can I tell you, having a good spirit when you're right is different having a good spirit when people have said things about you and betrayed you. You know, you're not showing about having a good spirit when things are good. That's not showing anything. Showing a good spirit is when you haven't done what they say you've done and they judge you about it. And people judge you because of what's on the outside, and you can't change that. And so now, Joseph's thrown in prison. But can I tell you? He reinvents himself and he becomes head of the prison, and he becomes, that's where he hones his prophetic ability. Don't waste time. And can I tell you, and you could hear this from my wife, who has become such a powerful prophet. Can I tell you, everyone has the ability to prophesy. You might not be a prophet, but everybody. You should always ask God, God, what do you think about this? What do you think? God has an opinion about everything. Yes? He has an opinion about everything. When I got in here today and I walked in here, because I did a lot of praying before I got here, but when I walked in here, I says, God, what do you think about this today? What do you think about this today? What could I do to help Eagles Way the most? How could I stand with my friend Buren? What can I do? And I tell you, as much as I'm alive today, I'm doing exactly what he told me to do. Now he reinvents himself. He becomes a prophet and a warden in the prison, internal warden. Now, hear this in your reinvention. If you don't practice in the little things, you'll be never ready for the big things. Because all of a sudden, he's put in front of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, prophesy, if you're wrong, I'm going to cut you up into little pieces. And I'm not telling you the dream. Interpret it, and I'm not telling it to you. You're wrong, I cut you up into pieces. If you're right, I'll reinvent you. So all of a sudden, he's jerked out of prison. He comes in before Pharaoh. Now watch this. There's a difference in the world reinventing you and God reinventing you. Pharaoh reinvented him, the vice president. But when his brothers and the people from his nation showed up, God reinvented him as the savior of his nation. Now his brothers come. What if he still had stuff in his heart of bitterness against his brothers for betraying him? What if he still had unforgiveness? He would have never been able to save the nation, because God can't speak through a tainted vessel. If you have unforgiveness, if you have unresolved pain, if you have anger against anybody, get rid of it this morning. Because he can only reinvent you if you're flexible. If you tighten up and stiffen up, he can't work with you. It's the clay that would not be made. He changes a nation. A nation. The slave. The betrayed boy. The one that was seventh in line. Actually, he was further down than that because they had handmaidens that started having babies. He was actually 11th in line. And yet, he saved the nation because God reinvented him. I tell you prophetically, God's reinventing you. Your beautiful wife. God's reinventing you, son. He's reinventing y'all. Thank you. He's reinventing you. All my friends here. God sent me here to tell you he's reinventing you. And don't think because some time has gone by, you can't be reinvented. Jesus had the revelation at 12. He was confounding rabbis at 12. Do you think ever in the 18 years that he's building chairs and building houses that Jesus doesn't say, am I not wasting time being a carpenter here? God didn't. And he makes another chair and he makes another table. And God says, son, I'm about to reinvent you in a moment. I don't know if Jesus even knew. He was walking to his next job. This is my imagination. And John the Baptist is baptized. And John goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, you who takes away the sin of the world, behold the Lamb. And he says, come here. And Jesus walks into the water and John is taken back. He goes, man, you need to baptize me. And Jesus says, no. I need to be reinvented. And in a moment, I'm talking about you. In a moment, he goes under the water and he comes up. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit, like a dove, came down. And you know what? You know what everybody in the world wants, Chris? Affirmation. Everybody in the world wants affirmation. You know what they want? You did good. Everybody wants to add a boy. Of all things God could have said, of everything God could have said, what does he say? That's my boy. That's my boy. And I'm so proud of him. That's my boy. That was it. And that's good enough. And that's good enough. And what he does in 3.5 years changes everything because he was reinvented. Now he starts preaching a message. They say, we've never heard Luke 4, somebody speak with such authority. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's quoting Isaiah. Three and a half years go by. And God says, son, this is going to be the hardest reinvention ever. And he kneels down in the garden. And he says, is there any way I cannot do this last reinvention? Because we get comfortable where we are. Yes? Can I hear everybody say yes? We get comfortable where we are. Just don't stir the pond. Let's don't wake up the sleeping dog. There's a million sayings. Because the enemy doesn't want you to go to the next reinvention. And then Jesus realizes, just like every one of us realize in this room today, had we not gone through the last reinvention, we wouldn't be where we are today. We celebrate. What's our buddy's name that passed Friday night? What if Bobby hadn't been reinvented? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And because he went through the last reinvention, by his stripes, we are healed. By his blood, we are forgiven. Because of the ultimate reinvention. And I say, where are you going to stop? Are you going to stop because God did one thing and reinvented you one time? What's next, Danya? What's next, Danny? What's next, Roz? What's next? What's next? Everybody say it. What's next? Are you courageous enough to hear that? Worship was awesome this morning. But what's next? You and Kitty have a great marriage, but what's next? What's next? That's what makes us excited. In Him we live and move and have a being because we move. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. If you're here today and you say, there's something I need to get rid of so I can be reinvented. There's something in your heart. You saw the story of Joseph. Somebody's done something bad. There's something happened to you that's been difficult for you to transition through. You've gone through something that maybe you're questioning. God, why me? Why this? You need to settle all accounts today. I'm leading you on this 50th anniversary service to reinvention. If you're here and you say, Bishop, it's just you and me, raise your hand and say, I need to get something right in my heart. Raise it up. Let me see. Help. This is what I love about Eagles Way. You guys' hearts are always so open. Your hearts are so open. I just have to do it this way. Everybody stand. Sonny, go stand right there on the stage, please. Everybody stand. Before I pray about the reinvention, I just want to pray healing. Sonny and I want to do this. If you raised your hand, I want you to come down here. Come down here real quick. Come down here. Come. Come. We're going to clean. We're cleaning the slate today. We're cleaning the slate today. We're cleaning the. We're cleaning the slate today. Cleaning it. Cleaning it. You don't have to carry that any longer. You don't have to carry it any longer. Look here in these eyes. You don't have to carry that any longer. The cross, he did it all so you can get past that. It's too heavy. You need to get that off. You're going to feel 1,000 pounds lighter. And today, if you just get it off. I don't want to pray without everybody. Is there? Bow your heads. I think there's maybe about just 10 more people. If you raise, don't take this stuff home with you. If you raised your hand or you didn't, come on down here. I just want to pray for you. Say, well, Bishop, a lot of people came. But you, thank you. There's still some more coming. Yeah, you, but you and yeah. You see there, it's in Buren. Yeah. Now, I want you to do this. If you've gone through some stuff and God's forgiven you and your heart's clean, just come down here and stand behind these folks. Just come down and stand. I want everybody, reach out and touch somebody beside you. You need everybody. You need to feel love. Yeah, you need to feel love. This is a house of love. This is a house of restoration. This is a house where people get well. This is a house where you don't have to carry that stuff anymore.
I celebrate this house. I celebrate this house. This church is a place things get healed and things get well.
Pastor Sonny, take that mic from you, please, just for a second. I want you just to open your hearts. Sonny has done this all over the world with me, but I want you to just let it say what you want to say.
The Word of God says that by His stripes we're healed. That He was wounded for our transgressions, but He was bruised for our iniquity. Bruising is on the inside, and iniquities are what people have done to you. A lot of us have been hurt, and we've held on to the pain, not realizing that Jesus has made provision for that healing. And it's counted as sin to us if we don't take advantage of that. So I want to pray a prayer for you to allow Him to apply the blood to the bruising, the wounding on the inside. Because unless we're whole, we can't flow. Unless we're whole, we can't flow. So Father, I thank You right now that by Your stripes we are healed. We're healed on the inside. And we surrender right now. We surrender every pain, every hurt that has been done against us, the wounds against us, the words that have been spoken that have cut us, the actions that have broken us. And Father, we surrender these to You right now. We lay them at Your feet. And Father, we thank You for complete healing in Your people today. I thank You for complete healing in Your people today, because this people is called to be a people of restoration. This people is called to be a people that will heal the lost and the brokenhearted. And God says that He has named you restoration and liberation. On this 50th year, He has named you a house of restoration, because 50 is a time, is a name. Jubilee means restoration and liberation. We'd have to look that up. I'm just getting that by the Spirit. But that's what the definition of, falling in the hole there. The definition of Jubilee is restoration. And God wants to restore people as they come into this house. And you know, there was a time in Duane in our life that this place was a harbor for us, a safe harbor. And God did a miraculous work in our spirits while we were here, that we carried this spirit. And I've never been to another church, but our church in Atlanta, in Miami, has this church's spirit. The spirit of restoration, that spirit of love, that spirit of family that's here is in our church. And I've never seen it in another church like it is here. And I want to give a word. It's to the whole house, but I want to point it to a couple of people. The three people that were on the praise team, you, Dusty, and Jennifer, I don't see her. But the three of you, if you would stand in front of me just for a moment. The word of the Lord came to me this morning as I listened to you worship. And He said, the next phase and the next movement of this church is not going to look like the way maybe you've preconceived it in your mind. But God says that He's taking this church because He has chosen you, because the heart of this man, He has chosen you to be a portal. And He's going to open a portal in this house, and the presence of God is going to dwell here, and He's going to bring people from this area from miles around, because they're so hungry to touch the presence. But this portal will open this church. It will be seen. It will be exposed because of the portal of His presence. And God says to you that you have three children that are marked. And these three children are going to lead a movement. Your son, the oldest son, has thunder in him. Thunder. He will shake the atmosphere. And the three of you are called to break the atmosphere open so the portal can come and rest in this house for the presence of God. I see it coming down almost like that mushroom when a bomb, you know, atomic bombs. It's like a mushroom effect, and it will rise up out of here. And I saw the angels of the Lord there posted in the four corners of the inside of this building, and two of them have been here for a while. But the other two are called Liberation and Restoration, are their names. And the Liberation one is going to liberate the minds, the very concepts of what you think the way church is supposed to be done is going to be like wiped. People are going to come in and just fall on their face, and they're going to be led into his presence. And I see that there's a pull of the prophetic in you, and I see you releasing that as you worship. You release the prophetic, you release the prophetic, and I release it upon you right now in Jesus' name. I release that prophetic. And Penny, there's a prophetic that's been sitting in you, and God wants you to stir that, because the two of you are called to win the lost at any cost, and you know that. And God says the minute that you move in your anointing and in your calling, you will be completely healed, because it is the bearing of fruit that God's required of you. The bearing of fruit. And Pastor Beer and I humbly submit. I'm still me, and I get nervous prophesying to a man of God. But the Lord says that he has watched your heart through the years. And your heart is like a string that is thread through your seed. It's through all of them. But your heart is like the heart of David. And you have such a love for people that in this time there's not kings, but you're his king. You rule. Yep. This is what you reign over, this territory. And he says he wants you to speak more. And I submit this. He wants you to speak more in a commanding things to happen. Because he has given you that right, and he has given you that authority. He's put a scepter in your hand. And as you speak, even to the elements, but especially to the atmosphere, that you will begin to see things shifting and things changing. Because he will pull those things in the minute they come out of your mouth. Joel, you have a word. I can feel it on you. Joel Casoria, come speak. I can feel it in you.
God has put a sound in you that nobody has heard yet. God has put songs like David writing songs. And there's a sound that's getting ready to come out of you that God's going to birth out of you.
Thank you, Jesus.
That only you have heard. And God wakes you up in the midnight hour, in the 3 o'clock hour, the 4 o'clock hour, the 5 o'clock hour. And he puts those sounds in you. And sometimes you think, God, get this away from me. I don't understand it. But the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And God's eyes seek the earth and seek all of my glory for someone who has an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is getting ready to release in this last day prophetically to my church. And it's coming only through a sound. And God has anointed you. When you danced in heaven before you were ever through your mother's womb, God put that sound in you.
Wow.
And the season is now. I'm calling it forth right now to be released. Whatever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. Whatever is bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. And God, we're loosing that sound that's going to flow out of this vessel. Write the songs.
Wow.
God just says, just begin writing the songs. God, I don't understand any of this. God says it doesn't matter. Write the songs. walk on the platform and look at the musicians and say, the song goes like this. And God, the anointing that's on you will fall on the musicians, and you will write and arrange their songs. They will go around the world and be heard by men and women of all nations, all kindreds, all tongues, all tribes.
And that will change the very nature of this community, this nation. It will draw from miles around because people are hungry for His presence. And you are carriers of that anointing, and you will pull it in. Do not be afraid. Do not shy back. Just go after it. And I want to say to everyone in this place, because as I was sitting there this morning, God kept saying, your children are marked. Your children are marked.
Yes.
Your children are marked.
Yes.
Every child in this house, you speak over them. You prophesy
That's
over
right.
them. You claim what God has called them to be. Bind them to their destiny. Bind them to their purposes. Father, I speak that over every child of every parent, whether the child is even here today. I bind them to their destiny. I bind them to their purposes. And I call them into the kingdom for such a time as this. I thank you, Father, for this day. I bind these words, wrap them around this house, around these people. Father, I seal these words that the enemy cannot touch or take away. Any words spoken in this house today, I cannot get away from you, Jason. I know you're not doing it right now, but you are so called. You are called, you are called, you are called. I'm just going to leave it right there. I'm seeing a lot of things, but I release it to you. You are a called, appointed man of God, and you can't run from it. You cannot run from the callings of God. God has destined you to speak. You're like a street evangelist. You're like a fire. There's fire in you, and you, there's whether it's a marketplace evangelist, you cannot run from what God has put in you. He has called you to win the lost, to preach it everywhere you go. It's in you. I'm sorry if I'm out of line here, because I know.
Let me just say, I would be remiss if I didn't say what a incredible part of my family that Connie and Missy Z. Barth are. They came to Miami and started everything. I wouldn't have it. We wouldn't have it if it wasn't for them to come and to help me start. And Brianna, Leonard, they all were pillars in our ministry. And I would be remiss if I didn't say that. I love you all so very, very much. I love you.
Love you.